We're going to take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. And I trust you've got a handout sheet at the door, and we're going to move rather rapidly this evening through the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Restoration, Leviticus chapter 23 in our Bibles as we open them together. And I trust it'll be a blessing to everyone as we look there together this evening. Leviticus chapter 23. If you're just joining us, we've been in a series on Israel's feast and seeing the prophetic hand of the Lord, if you will, fulfilled in the feast days of the nation of Israel. And tonight we come to the Feast of Trumpets, or here on the outline sheet, the Feast of Restoration. We're opening our Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. And as we highlight along the way, we note that our study of Israel's feast calendar is set forth in Leviticus 23, now moves from the spring to the fall. You'll recall that the Feast of Israel were set by the hand of the Lord on a lunar calendar. In the spring, there was the Feast of Passover. And then after the Feast of Passover, along with it really, unleavened bread. Some people put the unleavened bread feast and the Passover feast together and don't differentiate. But for our purposes, we have differentiated. Then first fruits. And as we noted last week, the Feast of Pentecost. Now we're moving from the spring feast to the fall feast. And the fall feast are three in number, the Feast of Trumpets. We're focusing on that tonight. After the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. What a sobering time that is, and the ramifications of that in the nation of Israel, as the Lamb who was rejected now comes as the sovereign ruler. And then finally, the most joyful of feasts, in my opinion, the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll be looking at that in the days ahead. As we look to Leviticus 23, you'll be reminded by now that we have looked again at four of the feasts. We've looked at the feasts that occur in the spring, and we noted that the Passover feast, now we're on the outline sheet, the Passover feast speaks of redemption, telling us of the death of Christ. He is the Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, makes that abundantly clear. And so the pictures of the feast, so wonderfully fulfilled in our Lord's first coming. The second feast, unleavened bread, speaks of sanctification, the purity of the removing of the leaven. And even so, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, without sin, gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sin as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, so far He removes our transgressions from us. And then the first fruits, or resurrection, the resurrection of Christ spoken of. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 reminds us that He is the first fruits from out the dead. And then finally, the Feast of Pentecost, where we saw, as we did, or we noted last week, the church together, the Jew and the Gentile, gathered together, sealed by the Spirit of God, that which was previously a mystery, now in our dispensation made known unto us. So the first three feasts, again, as we've noted, the first three feasts happen in 1 month. And then after those first three feasts, we move down to Pentecost 50 days later. And now we see the last three, and those last three are going to happen in a one-month period, rather rapidly, and I think very purposefully. The three feasts occurred in the first month of the Jewish calendar, the month Nisan. We look at Leviticus 23, verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, it's the Lord's Passover. Nisan was the first month in the Jewish calendar. And moving forward from that first feast, you'll discover that the rest come in rapid succession until you hit Passover. But tonight we move forward from that and discover those last three feasts that are here in God's Word. And so on your outline sheets, we notice Pentecost was held 50 days following the first fruits. And the last three feasts occur in the fall and begin with the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 23, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of a blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Also in the tenth day of this, the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement." We're going to focus really on this 23, verse 23, 24, and 25, as we look at the Feast of Trumpets, and we begin our consideration with the statute that has here been given. The Feast of Trumpets was on holy convocation, according to verse 24, in the seventh month. You can also read about the Feast of Trumpets in the book of Numbers, the 29th chapter, the first 11 verses. It required the assembling together of God's people on the first day of the seventh month. The high priest would blow a trumpet from the southwest parapet of the temple, and all the work was going to be then stopped. Verse 25, you will do no servile work therein. From the moment that that trumpet sounded forward through this particular observation, no work was to be done. Now I'm going to pause here. Along the way this evening, as we introduce ourselves to the Feast of Trumpets, I want us to be considering pictures, types, representations. Sometimes when we think of types, it can get scary because we can take undue liberty. There are those who will build cases that perhaps no case should ever be built for. But when we deal with the feast days of Israel, the Word of God makes it very clear, as we've already discovered in the first four feasts, that pictures are provided there of the first coming of Christ. He is the Passover. He is the first fruits. There are recognitions of those types in the New Testament. There are some who are so structured when looking at types as to take the position that unless it's demonstrated, proven, or stated in the New Testament, we are doing a disservice to Scripture to look at the Old Testament and see any New Testament ramifications or any pictures or portraits or types being seen. I'm not quite in that camp, though I appreciate that we need to be cautious and not try to make the Bible say what it does not say. I think there are many pictures in the feast days, and I think the key to that is given by the Holy Spirit in demonstrating in the first coming of Christ and then affirming in the New Testament passages. And once affirmed, I think it's wise for the believer to go ahead and ponder and pause and say, is there something here by way of parallel, prophetically, that I should be seeing? So I'm saying all that to say, watch as we discover this particular feast and allow your mind to be open to ask the question, how do I see this paralleled in the prophecies that are given to us regarding the coming of Christ? So we start by noting there was a stopping of work, verse 25. The Jewish months began with the new moon, but the Feast of Trumpets is the only one of those feasts that begin on the first day of the month. Back up here in verse 5, the Feast of the Passover, you recall, was on the 14th of the month. And as you come to verse 27, the Day of Atonement is on the 10th of the month. And so it goes as you move through the various feast days. This is the only one that comes on the first day of the month, which would be a time of darkness. A time of darkness. The Jewish months began with the new moon. The Feast of Trumpets was the only feast on the first day, a time of darkness. The second thing to note, the seventh month. Why, the seventh month would be a Sabbath month. And so we note the seventh month is when this feast is occurring, according to verse 24. God instituted a Sabbath day in each week, a Sabbath year, six working years, and then we have a Sabbath year, a Jubilee year after seven Sabbath years, the year of Jubilee. And so it is that we're looking now at a Sabbath month, if you will. And then finally, the Feast of Trumpets was the beginning of a month that was almost entirely consecrated, to the Lord. Look at verse 24. It's on the seventh month comes the Feast of Trumpets. We look down at verse 27. And also on the tenth day of this seventh month, the Day of Atonement, we come down to verse 34. And the Bible says, speak to the children of Israel, saying the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we have three rather rapidly coming days that are to be marked. And with the Feast of Trumpets comes 10 days that are very significantly marked in the calendar of Israel. So the seventh month really comes to be a month that almost altogether is given over to focus on the things of the Lord. We move from the statute to the statement. The statement. To understand the Feast of Trumpets, it's necessary for us to understand the idea of a trumpet. How is a trumpet used in God's Word? Take your Bibles and go to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers. We're going to go to the 10th chapter, Leviticus Numbers, chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. The trumpet was used very clearly in God's Word as an instrument of communication. The Apostle Paul is going to refer to that when he says in Corinthians, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to know to go forth in the day of battle? We turn to Numbers chapter 10. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and said, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. If they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. If you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of peace offerings, that they may be to you a memorial before your God, for I am the Lord. I want you to notice, in Numbers 10, the Bible tells us that Moses was commanded to make two trumpets. Coming rather rapidly, but a lot of facts and details that hopefully are going to stand out momentarily. What are these trumpets being used for? Well, the trumpets communicated a convocation. Verse 3, they called people to assemble, a convocation. So a trumpet would call them together. A trumpet would be used also for a demonstration of commitment. In verses 5 and 6, when an alarm is blown, they're committed to a battle. The trumpet is going to be used when a conflict arises. You can see that in the book of Joshua. Joshua and the children of Israel marched around Jericho, and the trumpets were sounded, and the walls fell in. Trumpets are typically used in battlefield. Coronation, glad times, if you will. You discover that in 1 Kings, when Solomon is going to be anointed as the king of Israel, why a trumpet sounds. And also we discover in Isaiah 58, as well as I think in the 10th verse of the passage that we just read, in times of confession, when sacrifices were being offered, trumpets were being sounded. Now all that really by way of introduction to the idea of trumpet and the significance for us as we think of the Feast of Trumpets, an Old Testament feast, where are we going with this as New Testament believers? Well, let's go back to Leviticus 23, if you don't mind. Back to Leviticus 23 and put our thinking caps on for just a moment. The significance. Just as the first four feasts have a pictorial and a prophetic significance pertaining to the first coming of Christ, I think we're going to discover that the last three feasts have a pictorial and a prophetic significance when we ponder the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is seen really in these feasts. Colossians says in chapter 2, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. We're looking tonight at shadow pictures. These Old Testament feasts are shadow pictures. Just as the first four feasts were shadows and the reality then displayed in the coming of Christ, so we see in the second three feasts. These fall feasts are shadows and, I think, pictures of things to come. Let's talk about the significance for the church. When we think about the Feast of Trumpets, the significance for the church. We only have a couple of verses in Leviticus 23, but let's look carefully at them. Verse 24. In the seventh month, the first day of the month, shall be a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets. What comes just before that? Why, verse 22 does. When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. Pause there. Help me out. When we read that 22nd verse, what Old Testament book, what Old Testament story comes immediately to mind? Ruth was from what nation? Moab. Ruth represents Gentiles. Okay? What was Ruth doing as we're introduced to her in the book of Ruth? She wasn't stalking Boaz, by the way. That's the wrong answer. Facebook wasn't developed yet, so she couldn't have been doing that. What was she doing? She was gleaning. She was involved in the harvest. The 22nd verse. In the chronology of the Feast of Israel, we have the reaping of the harvest, and the corners of the field are left behind, and there's an imagery portrayed that reminds us of the book of Ruth, which coincidentally or very intentionally reminds us that God has a purpose for the nations, for the Gentiles. And immediately following that imagery of the harvest comes the seventh month feast, the Feast of Trumpets. I just thought it was well to note that there seems, even in the portrait here in Leviticus 23, to be a gospel gap, if you will, in the feast. The gospel gap between Pentecost, very clearly representing the beginning of the church. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And then this gospel gap, if you will. Pentecost is the last feast to be considered. We move from that to this harvesting of the land, and from the harvesting to the Feast of Trumpets. Are these accidents? No, these are shadows that ought to be pondered by those who love God's Word. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to look in God's Word and say, how come I never saw that? But the Spirit of God has much for us to ponder. Between Pentecost and Trumpets, there's nearly 4 months that go by. Part of the third month and all of the fourth and fifth and sixth month constitute a waiting period in which the Lord has most recently focused on the strangers, those who are in the land who need to be involved in the reaping. Strangers who would take part, if you don't mind, in the harvest. You know, it's interesting. As you study a dispensational scheme of the Bible and move through with the various great events that mark the history of the world in the economies of God, we're living in one that now marks about 2,000 years. It's a very long period of time since the crucifixion and the ascension, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the next great event, the rapture of the church, on the prophetic calendar. Thank the Lord for that gospel gap, for this mystery age. What's God's purpose in this mystery age? Remember what Peter says? There'll be those who will come in the last times and will scoff and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since things have been, everything's always the same. But God says, of this they're willingly ignorant. He talks about the flood. And he also tells us he has a purpose for this mystery age, this time of pause in the calendar, if you will, of God's prophetic timetable. What's his purpose? Somebody who's praying for a soul ought to be able to respond to this right now. He's building the church, sure. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing, finish it, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank the Lord for a gospel gap. The church today is involved in a harvest. Mark 16 tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Israel today, in this gospel gap period, has been set aside. Romans tells us in chapter 11 and verse 25 that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So I can look at this chronology of the feast days, and in the chronology I can pause and say there seems to be a parallel. For after all, the church is waiting for a trumpet, isn't it? Yes, the church is waiting for a trumpet. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump will sound. The Bible reminds us of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The church is awaiting a trumpet. Now, remember, Moses fashioned two trumpets. And here I step out on the speculative edge. But he fashioned two trumpets. We're looking right now at a trump for which the church is longing. John tells us in Revelation 4 and verse 1 that he heard the voice, as it were, of a trumpet saying, "Come up hither." If you remember the chronology of the book of the Revelation, from chapter 4 until the 19th chapter, the church is not seen. Because in chapter 4 and verse 1, the trump calls John up. And John, from that point forward, is seeing all things tribulational from a whole different vantage point. The church is awaiting the sound of a trump. Israel has been set aside, and this trumpet marks the end of the mystery age of the church. The end of the mystery age of the church, when that next trumpet sounds, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout," 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." Now remember, I told you a lot of allusions and pictures and thoughts that might crowd your mind right now, and we'll come to some of those by way of question in a moment. But how about for Israel? Surely the Feast of Trumpets has a significance for Israel. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. The book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter of the book of Zechariah. We begin our reading in verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Now we know that picture, don't we? That's the Lord coming on that day prior to the Passover and presenting himself in Jerusalem. It's a messianic text. It talks about the Messiah and his arrival. "And I will be cut off, the chariot, and I rather will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall make peace unto the heathen. His dominion will be from sea to sea, from river to the ends of the earth." That has not happened yet. The Messiah is still awaiting that universal kingdom from sea to sea and from river to river. "As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I render double unto thee, when I have bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and the Lord shall be seen over them. His arrows shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds in the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them. They shall devour and subdue and sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as though wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, the corners of the altar, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people." This is speaking to the nation of Israel when the Messiah comes as the conqueror. "For they shall be as stones in a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids." Blow the trumpet. There's a day coming when there'll be a blowing of the trumpet for the children of Israel. The Feast of Trumpets occurred, remember, during a dark time. I think that's interesting. It occurred during a dark time. When you read in Zechariah, Zechariah is going to picture a dark time. It pictures all the nations coming against Jerusalem. It pictures that great time of the end when the Messiah himself will be seen and will rescue his children. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. So what's the significance of trumpets prophetically? Well, for the church, we're waiting for a trumpet. And for the nation of Israel, Matthew chapter 24. Note the context, the 29th verse. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," I remember when I was a kid, the movie came out. How'd the song go? "We wish we'd all been ready." Remember this? And it talked about people in the field, and one was ready and one wasn't, and applied it toward the rapture. That's a misapplication of this text. This says, "After the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They will gather together his elect from the four winds, from every end of the heaven." Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know it's near, even at the door. Verily I say, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In this Olivet discourse, we have after the tribulation a trumpet. It speaks of a dark time. It speaks of a regathering time as the children of Israel are gathered, and yea, all the nations of the world are gathered. Joel tells us it's going to be a time of tremendous repentance, a time of tremendous repentance. It will also be a time when Israel is restored. The Bible tells us in Romans 11, and all Israel will be saved. Now I'm going to pause there. We've got a couple of minutes. From what you've just heard, let's allow you to use some prophetic imagination. Try to draw some parallels from what you know of the Feast of Trumpets and what we know of the prophetic calendar for the church in Israel. I've drawn a few already, and you can review those. That's fine. What thoughts come to your mind after what you've heard about the Feast of Trumpets? Synthesize what we've said and draw the parallels, and we'll be on our way. Anybody here can help me? I'll start you off. Trumpet starts in darkness. Okay? We look at the trumpets, which is the next event on the prophetic calendar. It's a time of darkness, but it symbolizes someone's coming. Others. All work ceases. Excellent, Dennis. Josh? Israel's regathered. The convocation, that's what trumpets did. It brings together. Others. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, Brother Lauren. Did you hear what he just said? September, October, the Lord's coming back. Now wait, the spring feast did occur according to the calendar, didn't they? Jesus is the Passover lamb. There are those who set dates who love to plant the date of the second coming around October. But we've got a challenge with that, right? What's our challenge? We don't know the day or the hour. Some other parallels or thoughts that you caught. Scan back over. Do you see any others? Maybe one more. I'm going to look at what I had. Oh, this is interesting to me. It's a seventh month feast. What's the next thing that we look forward to as far as a dispensational scheme? We have tribulation, and after tribulation comes the millennium. No more work, as Dennis pointed out, but that whole seventh month is filled with these three consecutive feasts coming quickly. To me, that's an interesting parallel. Here on your sheets, the Feast of Trumpets will communicate every message given by the trumpets of the Old Testament, if you look above, number 1 through 5, convocation, commitment, conflict. The Feast of Trumpets, called Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the beginning of a Sabbath of rest. May God help us as we look forward and listen for the trumpets.